Hello and welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin and Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking at the League Cup exit to St Johnston on Saturday. We'll look ahead to the home game to Dumbarton, and as well as all that, we'll be hearing from manager Jim McAnally. Martin, how has your week been?
Yes, not been too bad. Yourself?
It's been an interesting week, shall we say. Before we delve into things over Peterhead, we should maybe discuss this. There we go. I Can Boogie. Has that song been plugged in your head all week?
Did something happen? Yeah, it's safe to say that it's been on every radio station, I think, since Thursday night.
But it's we should talk about Scotland then briefly. It is quite an achievement. 22 years since we qualified last. The men's team, I should say, have qualified for a major tournament. It's been some turnaround by Steve Clark.
Yeah, absolutely. He went in with the squad just after Alex McLeish, and he had quite a task in his hands. When you look at the squad, when he took over, it wasn't the greatest. Confidence, again, probably wasn't at the highest, and he's got, on paper, maybe not the best ability-wise, a squad, but he's got a squad together now that I think appreciate what they can offer Scotland, and I think he's got them playing well and but for each other. I think before in the past we've seen teams, players called up for the national squad, and there's a lot of call-offs. I don't think there's been that many under Steve Clark, and I think that's credit to him and his coaching staff. He seems to have galvanised the team together, and you know, as you said, 22 years Scotland's waited men's team to get to a major tournament, and finally they've managed to do it.
It's interesting that he's picked a lot of Scottish based players as opposed to what seems to be the tradition of picking English based players, and they were picked purely because they were playing in England. The guys like Andy Constein, for example, getting his first cap mid 30s would never have gotten a cap under anybody else.
No, I think before the Scotland picked, you know, I think a player playing champion football on and off in England a lot before somebody playing at potentially Hibs at Hearts, Aberdeen, Motherwell, that playing regularly week in, week out and playing well. So I think that mentality's maybe changed slightly. I think players realise if they're playing well for their club in Scotland, that they will get a call-up. Declan Gallagher, you've mentioned Andrew Considine. So there's players there now that know if they're playing well, they're in form. I think that's the key thing as well. Then regardless of which club you're at and your age, you'll get picked for your national team.
It was just a nice thing for the nation to get involved with. Obviously, it's been a doom and gloom kind of year, so it was a nice almost end to the year, just something for us to now look forward to for next year.
Yeah, there was massive build-up, and rightly so, on Thursday, and then you've seen social media on Thursday, and probably right through until, you know, after the weekend as well, there's been a lot of hype over it, and a lot of people looking forward to it. You know, we went into work on Friday, and people's already saying they're booking time off for next year, because they're keen to go and follow Scotland in a major tournament, and it just brings that, you know, it gives everybody a lift, if our national team's doing well, and as you said, it's been a tough year for a lot of people, so hopefully that gives us the platform to look ahead to something nice next year.
And you were 8 the last time Scotland was in a major tournament. Many memories of that?
No. I'm not the biggest Scotland national team supporter. It's something that I fall in and out of, and I'm guilty of one of them. I'll tune in if it's a big game or, like, you know, Thursday night, I think everybody was watching. But Steve Clark has brought that something to Scotland that you feel that you can now watch them and you can follow them and try and support them. I don't know whether I'm in that minority there or whether it's something that, you know, you tend to find the generation that will maybe dip in and out of Scottish football in terms of the national team. But it's a massive success to get to a major tournament for next year. Sorry.
Well, something for you to look forward to, Scotland in a major tour. If it comes every 22 years, we'll be waiting a long time again. But well done to the Scotland national team, Steve Clark and the boys. It was great. So hopefully a game against England next summer as well to look forward to. Hopefully by that time we are in it further forward with getting fans back in again, which would be a great help. So on to all things Peterhead. We'll talk firstly about last Saturday's game against St Johnstone. It was a big game. We kind of built it up as being a winner-take-all, which it proved to be, because both sides knew that a win, either through penalties or through the 90 minutes, would have gone through. The other side would have gotten knocked out, along with Dundee United. So it was a massive game. Overall, before we sort of go into it, what was your thoughts on it?
Overall, bearing in mind it was a Premiership opposition, I don't think we gave a bad account of ourselves. I think it was a 15-minute period in the second half that really, really did us. And a couple of questionable refereeing decisions, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But overall, I think the players can be proud of their performance, but maybe in hindsight they'll be a little bit gutted that they didn't do more in the game.
The two changes that Jim McAnally made before the game, I think, were the changes we'd expected. We certainly expected Ferry to come back in again. He also was joined by Boyd. It was Lyle Cameron and Cook had dropped out. We maybe thought that Cook maybe would have started and maybe would have taken Armour off. But again, it probably would have been 50-50 with how he would have started those. Either way, it was still positive changes.
Yeah, I think Jim realised the importance of the game as well. It's neither a stronger game that we could have gone in and sat back and hoped to hit them on the counter. I think we did have to be positive. I think for the first period of the game, we were trying to be on the front foot. The weather sort of played the part in it as well. And then after about 10 minutes, St Johnson came into the game. I don't think they didn't do too much in the first half, St Johnston, to be honest. I just feel that they had the better opportunities. Yeah. At the start of the second half, it really killed us.
There's not much really happened in the first half. As you said there, the weather really affected both sides. The wind was playing havoc for St Johnston, their defence and their goalkeeper. Every time they had a long ball, it just went straight out for a goal kick or straight into Lenny Wilson's arms. On the flip side, Lenny Wilson was struggling to get his goal kicks over the halfway line. So it really, there was no sort of tempo to the first half.
No, it was quite stop start because the ball kept going out for goal kicks and throw-ins. But I think we are used to the wind at Balmoor, and I think slightly disappointed that after three or four goal kicks that Lenny Wilson didn't decide, you know what, this is not working and I need to change it. Whether that be somebody coming short and taking the ball from him or him being instructed to play a certain type of ball. But it was going into the wingers and it was either going straight out or getting up to the halfway line. We just kept the ball back to St Johnston. So on that perspective, that's frustrating because we allowed St Johnston to almost dictate how the game was going to go. And I don't think we gave ourselves much of a chance in the first half. The wind didn't help, but I think we could have helped ourselves as well.
Is that a fault then of the keeper, or is that a fault of maybe somebody who's been there longer to say, I'm right, let's play it short, or just throw it?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I think there's experienced players in the park and in the dugout to be able to say to them, look, this isn't working. But surely he's got to realise as well, if he's kicked it three, four, five times and it's either constantly going out or constantly going back to St Johnstone, he's got to think, well, I maybe need to change it. You know, if a player in the middle of the park's picking the same pass five times and it doesn't come off, you then start to think to yourself, well, this isn't working, I'll need to do something different. And I think that goes the same for the goalkeeper with his goal kicks. He was lumping it to the same area and it wasn't picking out a Peter Hughes player. If we're taking the goal kicks short, then you can, maybe it wasn't conducive to playing out for the back, but I think you give yourself a better chance with a diagonal ball than you would for the goal kick. So, that was a frustrating part because I felt if we could keep the ball at the more and work St Johnstone, we spoke last week about the age of our midfield, but we didn't really trouble them. And I think that's a frustrating part that whilst we didn't give ourselves a bad account, I do think there's maybe players coming off slightly disappointed.
I know it's Lenny's first home game since he's been at Peterhead, but he sat and watched Greg Fleming all last season struggle with his goal kicks, so you'd have thought he would have learned something. Another guy that was disappointing for was Ben Armour. Came off around about the 30-minute mark, first half. It was a heavy pitch, and he just sort of felt his hamstring again, but we believe it's not as bad as what it was first feared. It was more sort of precautionary that he'd be taken off. But again, it's one of those injuries that you really didn't want to be messing about with.
No, absolutely. I think the right decision was for whether it was Ben that asked to come off or whether it was Jim that made that decision for him. But I think it was the right decision overall. As you said, it was a heavy pitch. He didn't want to risk potentially being out for another 3-4 weeks. He got two goals, Dunham and Trozen looked really good. And I think he's just coming back to his game now. It would have been criminal, I think, to keep him on and potentially lose him for 3-4 weeks because there's a big couple of weeks coming up for us with a shorter season. These games are coming thick and fast. So it's important that we've got our key players. And I think the right decision was to take him off on Saturday.
So that was it. First half was pretty much done and dusted. There's not much to kind of let home about. Second half, there was, even from the first whistle of the second half, there was a marked improvement in St Johnstone's play. And we'd kind of, so you'd kind of mentioned that perhaps they'd gotten a bit of a rollicking at half time.
Yeah, like you said, there was a marked improvement from them. I think Callum Davison, towards the end of the first half, we could hear him shouting. He wasn't happy with the way his team was playing. And they looked on the front foot and they came out fully, a lot of purpose and intent in the game. And we struggled for the first 5 minutes to adapt to it. But at that point, it's weird because the weather just changed slightly as well. There wasn't much of a wind. So again, that maybe helped playing it in Johnson's hand that we got the ball down on the deck and was able to knock it about a wee bit.
We should mention what's kind of turned into the Ewan Anderson show. Second half, the first penalty, I'm still kind of scratching my head because we didn't really see anything untoward. We believe it was given for holding at a corner. There are a couple of questions we need to kind of maybe ask. First of all, can you give a penalty for something like that in a game?
Yes, but if you're going to do it consistently, there's an awful lot of penalties going to be given. I think, I can't remember if it was the start of this season before last or actually the one before that. I think Bobby Madden gave 3 penalties down at St Johnstone. And this was when the rule came in about, you know, grappling that. There was a big focus on it in Scottish football and they were going to penalise it. Bobby Madden gave 3 penalties in the first half. And then that was it. It was hyped up in the press and then there was nothing given after that. But I would love to see if that is given in a Premiership game the next time Ewan Anderson's refereeing. Because I can guarantee you now it wouldn't be. You can give penalties for it, but it's very, very soft. And off the top of my head, I can't remember many St Johnstone players appealing for it, if any.
I don't think anybody actually appealed because it was just funny because the corner came in and all you heard was a whistle. And here's some pointing at the spot and you go, oh, what's he giving here? I know Stevie May was lying on the deck. And I think Jason Brown was lying in the deck as well, but nobody appealed whatsoever.
Yeah, which is strange, because normally if there's a coming together in the box, there's a couple of players appealing for it, even if it's you know, then they're appealing for it and trying to win it, but they thinking they will. But from our point of view and advantage point, nobody's seen a foul limit apart from the Marnock County problem today, Ewan Anderson. But it'll be interesting to see going forward how many penalties he gives for a similar sort of incident.
Do you ever think he's going to give one in the penalty for that in the Old Firm game?
Well, we're referring like that when I get to be an Old Firm game. but absolutely not. You're never going to get a penalty like that at Parkhead or Ibrox.
I was going to say, it's probably one of those that if Pierre had gotten it, we'd be quite happy to get it. But it's so...
I don't even think we can call it a home penalty. We spoke about this last year, that when you go away to a team like Falkirk and Raith, if you give them a chance and you get what we call like a home penalty, because you make the referee make a decision. But nobody appealed for it on Saturday. He just, off his own back, thought that's a penalty. Which, if pictures and replays show that he was correct and there was a lot of grappling, then so be it. But I think Jason Brown got booked for it, and even he was perplexed afterwards. The St Johnson were walking back for us to restart the game. He was still shaking his head and questioning it with the referee and a couple of his teammates. So a very bizarre decision, but it was one at the timing of it, just a couple of minutes into the second half, that really swung the game in St Johnson's favour.
I don't think he'd even sort of warned the players for it either. It was just a kind of case of, right, that's a penalty and that's it. Because normally you would get maybe two or three, right, guys, keep your hands down and get on with it. Where he just seemed to just give the penalty.
Initially, when I seen it, I generally thought he was pointing to the players, as in, you know, sometimes just before a corner's taken, the ref will blow his whistle and they'll point.
Just stop
the
play, yeah.
Give the warning saying not to do it. Mm-hmm. And then as he's pointing, and then he's walking towards, inside the box. You can see his arm moving, pointing to the penalty spot. And I thought, he's actually given a penalty. But no one was appealing for that. That was a strange thing.
Yeah.
So, a very bizarre decision from the referee on the day.
Stephen May tucked it away. Second penalty. Again, it's one of those, it probably is more of a penalty than it is not a penalty. But it's the forward's been clever, I think, is a polite way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, that the diplomatic way to say it is it's clever play from the striker, using his experience against Kieran Freeman, who I didn't think did anything wrong in the game apart from concede that penalty. Again, it's one of them, you make the referee make a decision. Stevie May's gone down so soon after the first one as well, and that sort of killed the game for us. But that's probably more of a penalty than the first one, but again, still on the softer side.
And again, it was Stevie May, it tucked it away. It was probably the only two things that Stevie May did the whole game, because other than that, he was pretty quiet.
Yeah, and I think that's credit to Kieran Freeman. First half, I think Stevie May, off the top of my head, had one cross-come shot. But again, there was a good ball through, and he was playing on the last line of the defence, and Kieran Freeman's stretching to get it. He hasn't got it, but he's slidden on the deck. And Stevie May has gone through. But other than that, Kieran Freeman, I thought, had a really good game and kept Stevie May quiet for pretty much the most part of the game.
I mean, after that, you're 15 minutes into the second half, you're 2-0 down. Suddenly, it's an uphill battle. And you haven't really played that bad either. So it's a bit of a sucker punch, really.
Yeah, it's strange. Again, it's set pieces, though. Was it Airdrie, I think, 2-0? It was conceded from a corner and then conceded a penalty. Again, it was two penalties that were conceded. But it's one of them things, it's lucky, not lucky breaks, you make your own luck, but we're unlucky in the fact that St Johnson got two penalties, which you could argue wasn't the penalties. And I think that's a frustrating thing. But again, we needed to do more in the game than what we did, I think. Especially after the second penalty, I think there was a 10-15 minute period of nothing really. It was balls going wide, but then I think you mentioned it on Saturday, there was a cross come in from the left hand side and there was nobody in the box. There was three St Johnston players, and yet we're the one that's 2-0 doing at home. So again, maybe harsh to players, it was a Premiership opposition, but they'll maybe look back on it and think they could have done slightly more in the game.
Then obviously the third goal went in. Almost kind of against the runner play as such. It was more of a sort of counter attack, but it was a good finish. Again, maybe if we've seen the goal again, Lenny Wilson might look at it and say maybe he should have done better as he got beaten at his near post.
Yeah, was that the Callum Hendry, the little bit of skill in midfield to play ball out wide?
Yes.
Yeah, looking back, Lenny will maybe be slightly disappointed, but the fact that we had 2-3 players ruined Hendry and he's managed to still get the ball out wide. I don't know whether it was, as you said earlier on, it's a heavy pitch, I'm not sure whether players are tired and it was 3 games in a week against a full-time team, but, you know, if you... As you said as well, we were just coming into a good spell in the game and they've hit her on the counter-attack, which is disappointing, but Lenny maybe could do better at his near post. But having said that, it's a good finish from Chris Kane.
In the mark of the difference between the two teams, I know St Johnstone are Premier League teams, so there are going to be differences anyway, but you look at their substitutions that they made, they could afford to bring off Stevie May, who scored 2 goals, and take off Craig Conway, who I think was probably the best player on the park, on the night, or on the day, I should say, and still bring on somebody like Craig Bryson and Kane, who scored, and Henry as well. That's the kind of depth that they've got. It's no disrespect to the substitutions that Peter Hayde made, but when you look to kind of maybe change the game or look to kind of get on top by making these substitutions, there's not really that sort of same depth there.
Yeah, I think the fact that we've got a smaller squad this year with, was it 4 or 5 players out, was unavailable for selection. You are sort of depleted, and as you said, St Johnstone's able to bring on, you know, ex-international players and up-and-coming players. So it just shows you on the day the difference of both teams. There's not much really there to say. They've got the quality that they could bring on. We're chasing the game in the last 20 minutes and they can bring on like Craig Bryson, so quite a difference.
We did say last week, and this is a part of their team that we thought might be their weakness, is their midfield or the age of their midfield. But the guest tonight, as I said, Craig Conway and Liam Craig, again, was another particularly good performer. It's with their age comes experience, and they just know how to manage games a bit better. They didn't need to be as much sort of running about as such. They can just be in the right positions and just manage the game better. And I think that will be a good lesson for some of our midfield guys going forward.
Yeah, we went 2-0 down, and then both teams made a substitutions, and Jim also changed the formation, and he went with 2 in midfield, and he sort of matched up against St Johnstone, but it almost seemed like they had an extra player in midfield, because, as you said, their experienced guys are in the right place at the right time, and they didn't actually do much running. They just played good passes out wide and stretched the game for us, and we sort of struggled for a 10-minute period after the substitutions to all settled down. And again, just shows you the experience that they've got. They can manage the game and see it out like they did.
There was the consolation, or the small consolation, of the one goal 10 minutes towards the end. Sniff of a comeback, but I don't think it was ever going to be there. But the positive from the goal was it came from some good play doing the right-hand side.
Yeah, I think if it had gone 2-1 rather than 3-0 first, you know, it would have been set up for maybe a potentially good last 15 minutes. As you said, it's good play down the right-hand side, a good ball in, and whilst there's nobody there, we've put it in a danger area, and we've got the reward of it with a goal. Granted, it's an own goal, but again, it's still good play on the right-hand side to get the ball across.
There was obviously the changes that I did mention. Simon Ferry went to centre-half after Jason Brown came off. Opinions or thoughts on that?
I think it's something that he's done before. He has tried Simon Ferry last season at the back. Whether that's with an opinion, an option looking forward to Saturday, who knows? I guess it'll depend on what players he's got fit again for Saturday. He might juggle things about. Unless he's going to have a change of formation again. You can never tell with Jimmy. He'd just like to keep us on our toes. If it's something that he's thinking about, you do lose a lot for Simon Ferry, I think, when you play him at centre-half and you do in midfield. I do like Simon playing in midfield, and we've spoken about it on numerous occasions. He's better in midfield than he would be at the centre-half.
it didn't stop him from making a mazy run for centre half into the midfield, though, did it? And I thought he actually got injured when he fell down and all.
Yeah, he picks up a ball and he goes in a 20, 30, 40 yard run, and then he sort of just collapses in a heap after it and stretching. Again, like you, I did think he'd maybe tweet something when he'd gone down, but thankfully, after about 5 minutes, he prized himself off the Fleer and back up. So, if he's going to, I'm not sure whether that'll help Jim on Saturday if he's going to be playing mazy runs for the back, but again, it gives you a different option.
Last week, we mentioned the antics of the Montrose players and the staff towards the referee, trying to bully the referee and making decisions, we think. There was one thing I noted from Saturday with St Johnstone this time, is every time that they felt a decision was going against them or felt that they weren't getting the right decisions in terms of throw-ins or whatever, free kicks, they shouted towards the referee but used his first name, so they would always call him you and you and what you doing and what's all that kind of thing. That to me, I know they maybe know him for him obviously refereeing Premier League games, etc. But that be slightly disrespectful, A, to him, the referee, and B, to the opposition as well.
Yes. I think this is just a personal opinion. I don't know, I've never played professional football, but I'd assume that they'd be using the word, shouting the word ref rather than by his first name. I can't imagine many of the players shouting Mr. Anderson, but I certainly think, we heard it a lot, Lino, so why is it not ref? You know, one of the assistant referees was Douglas Ross. He is well known, but they shouted Lino, so I'm not sure why the referee would be different. I'm sure it would be ref and Lino. I don't know. But again, we heard it in Montrose, some of the things that we shouted at the officials, and we heard it again on Saturday. It's maybe a topic for a different day, but you can sort of see why referees, or there's a lack of referees at lower league football, because some of the abuse that they get shouted. Now, you could look at a decision 3-4 times, and you might not get the same conclusion every time, but some of the things that were shouted, not just at Montrose, also by St Johnstone, and I'm sure by your players as well, throughout the game, I don't think it's right. And you can sort of see why referees, or there's less young referees coming through than there would have been 10, 15 years ago.
I just think the whole thing, as I said, it's just kind of smacks of disrespect. I mean, the guy's in charge of the game, so surely you would at least call him ref. I'm not expecting them to call him sir or anything like that. But you just think, as you said, maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was a respect there for referees. And I just think that because the referees maybe are full-time now, there's that familiarity with them. So they get a bit familiar with the players and the managers and things like that. So they're almost like a buddy-buddy kind of thing.
Do you think that the respect needs to come for the referee themselves? Not in terms of towards a player, but as in, they will engage in dialogue with the player, even though they're shouting his first name. Do you think if it was maybe a case of he wouldn't respond to a player unless he was shouted ref or referee and then take the player on, that it would maybe catch on?
Yeah, there is that. I mean, obviously, respect is a two-way street. But, yeah, I mean, if the referee's insisted on being called ref during the game and the players calling him by his name, they would be fully entitled just to ignore him. But as I said, it's a niggly little thing, but it's one of those things you pick up and you notice and you go, hang on a minute, that's near right. Because obviously, the Peterhead players or Jim, they kind of turned around and calmed you in because they didn't care the guy. You know?
Yeah.
He did the last time he refereed at Peterhead was 3 years ago. And funnily enough, he booked Simon Ferry and Jason Brown that day as well. So, but they don't know him as well, so they kind of just say you and they would say ref.
Just my final point on this, but it was interesting to note that the St Johnstone players were shouting you in, and the referee will respond by their first name, But there was one occasion that a Peterhead player went down and the referee just shouted Peterhead and the number.
Aye.
So again, it goes back to this familiarity and respect thing. It's okay for St Johnstone to shout the referee's name and him to call the players by the first name, but a Peterhead player, he doesn't care, he just shouts Peterhead and the number. He should maybe, you know, if it's all about respect, it should be equal for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, he should know who Ryan Conroy is anyway. I mean, everybody knows who Ryan Conroy is, surely. Right, we'll move away from that before we start getting too much into it. But we'll hear from the manager and see what his thoughts were of the game.
Jim, disappointing result at the end of the day?
Disappointing result. Bearing in mind how hard they worked in the first half to stay in the game. I mean, not that they had any chances in the first half. I think they'd won at the back post with a free kick. But I thought against a really strong wind, we caught to it well. And say the second half, we never really got a chance to, you know, to get up the park and pen them in. And, you know, so that was disappointing. We, you know, you can see as soon as the penalty kicks given, you can see the despondency in the players, and you can see their shoulders slump and thinking, oh Christ, here we go again, you know. So that was hard to take.
Do you think I just knocked us in the first part of the second half? There's
no doubt it is. You know, you can feel it in the dugout, you know, you think, God, these boys have just worked their socks off, and then as you see, you get done with a penalty, which you see hundreds of, you know, every game you see that happening, and referees do nothing about it. And sometimes I do wish they would do something about it, because it might stop people doing it. You know, if you were to do it every game, and then, I mean, as I said to Jason, look, you're just going to need to be aggressive and go side by side. I mean, we all played the game. I picked up at corners. I can't remember ever being holding. But it seems to be like everybody does it now for some reason. You know? But as I said to him, when you watch somebody like Gary McKenzie when he's back playing again, you don't see Gary doing that. Gary was just going ahead of him, you know, and that's what, you know, obviously once we get him back, he can learn off his own, you know.
In terms of the second penalty then, any arguments for that one?
Listen, the boy said soft, and the boy knew exactly what he was doing, but it looked a penalty for where I was. So.
Is that a case then that's...
Inexperience.
What I say, they've been a bit cute.
Inexperience, and against guys that know what they're doing. But, I mean, it was only a mistake that boy made in the game. I thought he was excellent, you know. And again, it's all part of a learning experience for him. But, you know, again, that happens. And after that, for 10, 15 minutes, I felt we were all the place a wee bit. And I'm then thinking on to next week a wee bit, because I'm... When Simon broke forward that time and I thought he'd hurt himself, and you're thinking, God. And I took Jason off because Jason can't play next week, he's suspended. So I thought, right, let's have a look at potentially what we're going to be doing next week, you know. So that's where we went. And then the third goal, again, you see, it looks offside. But we kept at it. And although they scored an own goal, it was actually a good move. We played some good stuff for that goal. I'd like to have seen us being, you know, getting more up the park, and but it's just the way it is. I mean, against Premiership teams, it's tough. And as I said before, when you're playing Premiership teams, there's no room for error. You need to be at it. You need to play well, and you can't concede penalty kicks. You know.
Was it positive to take from the game, although we're 3-0 down against the Premiership team, that we kept going a bit like we chose last week,
and we looked fit.
Yeah.
You know, that was a pleasing thing. We looked fit and we kept at it. And you know what I really enjoy? He likes to watching me boy for the last 10 or 15 minutes. You can just see he's just shown us now how good a player he is. And he's fit and he's sharp, he's clever. And, you know, when I'm watching it, I'm thinking, once we are back to kind of a, you know, full strength, we're going to be decent. If, you know, if you get a wee break, and that's sometimes what you need, is just a wee break.
You finished the group stage with 8 points. I guess, even though you've come away with a loss today, you could be still proud of your players getting that 8 points. Because
we went through 8 points one time.
Aye. That's the thing about this group stage, isn't
aye,
it?
Aye. So, listen, I think if anybody's thought we'd have got 8 points at the the start, they would, you know, they would have been saying that we were delusional. But, you know, I'm proud of their efforts, and, you know, they've put St Johnstone into a game today. And, you know, I just felt as though it was too easy just to get penalties against you. You know, I would love to have seen them having to really fight for their goals, but they never needed to do it, you know.
Ben Armour came off again.
He tightened up. He's not done any damage, but he just felt as though he might have done damage. The pitch was heavy, obviously. But we just need to try and get him. You know, I said to him there, you need to maybe just stop doing your bodybuilding for a wee while and concentrate, maybe, and just keep running and keep mobile. So, listen, he's okay.
You're almost at a stage where you're getting almost a full squad, so it's going to give you a bit of a headache once you're trying to get all these players back in again.
I'm desperate for a headache now. I'm desperate for a headache. So I just want to see everybody there, because I know we'll be more competitive, hopefully. And you know, I'm pleased with how things have gone. I didn't like losing last week, but you just feel sometimes they're a wee bit more streetwise. And, you know, we had that focal point through the middle. Like, you've got eyes up to the boys to play after holding up, and we even played with two up with Ben, and I think there'd be a handful, you know, but I can't really get these. You know, I know that Dale will come on and Dale okay, but you're not going to get 90 minutes of him.
Yeah.
So, but it's good for Bill Lyle to come on today, because he looked back at it again and some brilliant touches, and because he was a wee bit disappointed the other night with his performance. But, you know, so. But once again, you know, I'm looking to make two substitutions at the end, and then to be reminded that we've made a first half substitution again, which is your. So,
yeah.
It's kind of a killing, is that? Yeah. I know, you know, you're making first half substitutions, so.
Yeah. Cheers for that.
So, I think overall, Jim was disappointed, but Jim being Jim, he takes a lot of positives even from Med.
Yeah, part of the job as manager is you have to look for the positives in any game. I think there was a few positives to take from it, maybe not as much as what we'd like, but we've got to bear in mind it was a Premiership team. We had played three games in a week, and you know, there is a few injuries catching up on us now as well. So overall, you know, 8 points from the group as well, it's been a decent campaign. I think if you'd said to Jim at the start we'd get 8 points, considering with two Premiership teams in it, plus Kelty, you know, I think he'd be relatively happy. And again, it gives us that, he's to look at the positives for going into the game against Dumbarton on Saturday.
Totally bypassing the fact that Brechin was in the group as well.
Brechin have been struggling for a number of years now, and I think when the group came out, it was certainly a game that you'd be earmarking for 3 points.
I think they were making up the numbers as a polite way of putting things. Right, so on to this Saturday then. It's the start of two home games in a row in the league. It's important, and it's more important, I think, this season that we make these home games count.
Absolutely, you've taken the words out of my mouth. I always got to say that the home games are more vital this season than I think what they would have been last season. We've spoken before, you know, it's a competitive division. Your home games are going to be crucial. And, you know, there's certain games you look at home and you're quite happy. Maybe you take a point. But I think this is the games. And it's nice to say it's a three-pointer already or anything like that. Sorry, a six-pointer. But it's a massive game because you want to start just getting a bit of momentum and just pulling away for the bottom sides.
It's against Dumbarton and it's against Forfar, so it's the two teams that they're running about you, or are going to be running about you, so that's the kind of games that you want to win.
I think the next two games will actually give us a really big indication of how our season's going to go. Because, you know, the most positive is you get 6 points and you're looking, you know, comfortable for mid-table. You could say 4 points again, you're still looking good. If you suffer a defeat in one of them, you know, you are going to still be looking over your shoulder. Again, it's very early on, we are in November. But, you know, the season started later as well. It's not like we've been playing since August and we've had a full round. So, your home games are vitally important. Maximum points on Saturday.
Dumbarton is the first one. they are sitting, they're actually sitting third in the table with 7 points, 2 wins, 1 draw and a loss. But they have only scored 4 goals in those four games, but they've only conceded 2. So it does show you just how tight and compact this league can be, that somebody sitting with 2 wins, just 2 wins, can be sitting in third and only scoring 4 goals.
Yeah, it's also to note that there'd be we think that'll be up there challenging. So the one on the good side, I think there's got to be an episode that we're turning and saying we're playing a poor side. But if you look at the division, there's so-called on paper easier teams. But again, it's vitally important that we win on Saturday, I think, because we need to get that momentum and just start building things, because we've won one game, but you know, it's all right. We praised the players after Montrose, kind of was a good performance, but inevitably it was 0 points. So I would rather play poor and get 3 points and play well and get nothing. So I'll, you know, take a poor performance on Saturday, provided we get the right result.
The head-to-heads, this is an interesting start for you. The head-to-heads overall in the league is Peterhead have got 11 wins, Dumbarton have got 11 wins, and there has been 1 draw so far.
And so it's a stick-on draw on Saturday.
Well, the last draw was in 2001. So there hasn't been a draw since 2001.
That's a stick on Saturday.
So there we go. So it does show you that it's going to go one way or the other. But as Jim said in the audio there, Jason Brown's going to be suspended. Looks as though Gary McKenzie isn't going to be back for it either. Gives him a bit of a problem in the back line. He did try Simon Ferry as an experiment, I guess. Does he go with that, or does he maybe play somebody else at right back and bring Kyle Bailey to play alongside Keenan Freeman?
I think the fact that he did put Simon Ferry in there for the last 20 minutes and to note he brought off Jason Browner, I think that maybe gives us a slight inkling to how he's thinking. I wouldn't be surprised to see Simon Ferry dropping in at the back and him maybe going with Brown and Fraser in midfield. Again, he maybe wants Simon's experience in the back line as well. It is a young defence, you know, with Kyle and Kieran. So maybe him and Simon just sitting next to him would be an advantage as well. But losing Simon from midfield will be a big loss as well if he does decide to go with him in the back line.
It looks like Isaac Lane should be back as well, whether or not he starts. If he doesn't start, it's still going to be a good player to take off bring off the bench, because he could just change the style slightly if he does come off the bench.
Yeah, I think if Ben's fit, I would think he would start, but to take him off the bench maybe the last 15-20 minutes if you need to change the game, then he's certainly a good player to bring off. He'll look good. We've seen him against Brecon, looks a handful. And again, it's somebody who can link up the play between the midfield and the strike force. It's maybe something that we lacked a lot last year. But hopefully, if he comes back and stays injury-free, then he can be a successful fill.
The Barton themselves, they lost a lot of their sort of main players through the summer. Obviously, Isaac Lane being one, but there's a lot of big names that has gone, and they went to the sort of lower lowland leagues. So a lot of people maybe thought that they would maybe struggle, but as I said, they're sitting third. They've got a wily old experienced manager in Jim Duffy. So they're not going to be just as pushovers. They've already beaten Clyde. But then having said that, so if we saw...
yeah, I think... you couldn't resist that, could you? Nah. To Clyde, I think. As you said, Jim Duffy's been around the block a lot. He's got contacts in the game that will help Dumbarton, I would think, this season. But they're not going to be a pushover. They need to really put in a good performance to beat them. I'm looking forward to the game because I think it'll be one of them. Dumbarton will want to attack as well. They probably see it's a game that if they can come to Balmoor and get 3 points, you know, again, it takes them clear of any potential worries for the meantime. It just is how we start the game. Hopefully we start out well.
And I said it's a first of back-to-back home games, and then the next one's away at the Falkirk. Obviously, we didn't do particularly well last season at Falkirk, so you know, you don't want to try and get as many points as you can before that game.
Yeah, we've got Falkirk away, and then you go away to Partick Thistle, Leicester home game against these five. So there's tough games coming up. Again, it just goes back to how important our home games are going to be, because, like I said earlier on, there's some games you look at, you maybe take a draw, and I think going away to Partick Thistle is one of them. You'd certainly snap your hand off for a draw, but it's the home games back-to-back that we've got coming up that we really need to put a marker down for how the season's going to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week. It's going to be a big week for not just the team, but getting the players back as well. And as Jim said there, he believes that once everybody's back, they're going to be more competitive. And I think it's going to give him the headache that he wants in terms of selection.
Yeah, I think on paper we've got a really good squad. I just don't think he's been able to play his best 11 that he would maybe like through injuries and suspensions and whatnot. So hopefully it won't be too long before he can get his best players in the park and we can start to see the reward of it. Because we mentioned earlier on when we played Dundee United and Brechin, we just seemed the players were starting to gel a little bit. And ever since then, there's just been little niggles and knocks, and there's been two or three changes to the team week on week. So I think Jim's right. Once he gets the players back and fully fit, we'll hopefully start climbing the table and look a lot better for it.
Yep, so bring on Saturday, as they say. So that'll do it for this week, for this episode. My thanks to Martin for joining me as always, and we'd both like to thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week, so we'll see you all again then soon. Cheers.